The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again because a vision, softly creeping, left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sounds of silence. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share, and no one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fools, you do not know silence like a cancer grows, whispered in the sound of silence. Brought to you by WKTV, I'm Wayne Thomas. Welcome to another Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. As always, we ask that you please keep an open mind about things you might not easily believe, as we explore the mysterious. We'd like to start out with meeting our co-host. So let's start with Brandon Jose. I first want to do a shout out to Brandon, because if it wasn't for Brandon, we wouldn't be on right now. He's doing the formatting for us because we're still looking for a tech person. So if there's anybody out there that wants to get involved with this production, let us know here at WKTV Studio. But let's meet co-host Brandon.
Hey, I'm Brandon Jose. I've been investigating the paranormal for about 10 years now.
Hi, I'm Kim Colleen, and I've been with this program for 3 years and one of the co-hosts of the Grand Rapids Paranormal Podcast. And I'd like to introduce our featured guest tonight, Marie Cisneros. And she is a paranormal investigator slash reporter for Muskegon. Is it called Muskegon Channel, or Marie, can you explain a little bit more of what that is for our viewers?
It's a series on the MuskegonChannel.com. It's, you can see it on Fire TV and Roku, and I think that it might be on channel, Muskegon Channel 96, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Yeah, well,
if we're going to talk about spooky and mysterious, I think you're the gal to go to.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, we've had Marie on our show one time before, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So we welcome you back to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, so what are we going to talk about tonight?
Oh, well,
I had her do a little bit of homework.
Oh, good.
Yeah. You're the lead investigative reporter for Paranormal Muskegon, and you have interviewed some of our friends, like Darren Dykhouse for one. I think you did Jamie Ray on the first interview with those guys. Maybe you could talk about that, start out with that a little bit, like who you've been interviewing, how that's been going.
Well, I interviewed Darren a couple of times. It's been about a year, so I have to take me back there a little bit to talk about what we, what we went over. First off, I think he explained some of the methods that he used in his work, that he's, number one, he's an empath, and, he uses a lot of some of the equipment, and Jamie Ray is a psychic medium. So we talked about that, and I think we did another recap here a few months ago. I think it was on October, and he talked about some of the things that he was doing there. I've interviewed quite a few of the ghost hunters, but I've also interviewed Mark Nakamp, and he is basically I don't know if he's like a magician, but he knows all about magic. And Frank Graham. So yeah, it's been kind of a hectic year when it came to the interviewing, but it slowed down here right around Christmas time. I did take a break. So I've got a couple of interviews lined up, and I have one tomorrow, I think, and that less cancels out.
Yeah. I want to talk to that guy.
Yeah, you're gonna dump. Shall I dump that guy? Oh, okay.
No. Actually, we're supposed to talk tomorrow. Yeah. So Marie's gonna interview me tomorrow. Yeah. We tried it last week, it didn't quite work out, but everybody's zooming. Hey, did that magician try to pull any tricks on you?
No. He's very knowledgeable. Now when he talks about magic, he isn't talking about sleight of hand, magician trips that you do in front of a stage. He's talking about the real energy forces that are out there and how people use them. That's what we mean by, the magic and magical systems and things like that. And we talked about one of the things that we talked about were ley lines also, about the energy grid that is actually over the whole earth, and how some of the, even like people, like the ghost hunters, like you guys, investigate these areas. And some of the places where a lot of that, those spirits can be found also have high water tables, beneath them in the land. So, and I think that was one of the things we talked about, whether some of
that's interesting. The ley lines, Brandon, did you know anything about that? The ley lines?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's kind of the theories. It's not something I've really like done on investigations to like where all the ley lines relate to or whatever, but it is one of the theories, especially if you have areas where different ley lines intersect each other too. Those are like, I believe like Stonehenge and some, like a lot of those places, like a lot of those, old historical places are all built where they're all connecting on different ley line plates and everything like that.
Okay. Yeah. And then of course, water is kind of magical anyway. And here in Michigan, we're surrounded by it. And I also have read an article where there's magnetic field under Michigan. And so maybe that's contributing to some of our ghostly activity. I kind of wanted to cover that a little bit later, but I'm wondering also, what got you on this path, this paranormal path? Do you start out at an early age?
Oh, me?
Yeah. you're a future guest, so most everything's going to be towards you. I go to Brandon for reference.
Oh, all right.
He's like a walking encyclopedia. He's like my Google guy when it comes to the paranormal. Right. But yeah, what was your path to this paranormal road you're on? Mm-hmm.
Well, my family's always been knowledgeable about certain things like, like superstitions or not necessarily superstitions, but like sixth sense. We've always known that, believed in sixth sense. And so at a very young age, and so when I was like 13, I think I started looking more into it. I started, going to the library, and I think some of the first books that I picked up were from Hans Holzer on ghosts. And then it was more into, things like witchcraft and, studying that sort of things. Some of it would scare me, but I would still continue to read on. And then I got more into, as I got older, more into the metaphysical side of it. And then, ufology, of course, and that's been pretty much my basis for research the last 10 years or so has been ufology and that sort of investigation. But some of my interests are more, it's because I am a minister also. So a lot of it had to do more with some of the spiritual aspects of it and those spiritual systems. So it all, whatever it is, it all ties in together. So
Holzer. I wonder if that's from our other guest that we had on the Holzer report. I wonder if that's the same person.
Yeah, the Holzer Files TV show is a TV show that investigates his old cases. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a chance to catch the show, but that's what the show does. So it is related, same person.
I like how this is all tying in. And then I thought maybe you were going to marry our friend Darren Dykhouse to his new fiance. Did they pick you?
No, they didn't. I did offer my services for that.
I offered your services.
You offered them too. I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, I did that online.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah, you great. Did. I know you mentioned it. So yeah,
sure. That'd be great. I thought maybe we'd get invited then.
Yeah. Well, I do like cake, so.
Right. Who doesn't? Yeah. You mentioned ufology, and you're into some other ologies, astrology and numerology. So I ask you if you could like maybe give us a little astrological forecast.
Well, you know, yeah, that was at 4:00 and I'm like, well, I'll see what I can come up with.
I've seen some of these forecasts. It can be very extensive. So I was short version.
Right. Well, you know, in the old days I used it took me 2 weeks to do someone's chart.
Oh, it's
because
great.
You have to interpolate planetary motion. So yeah, it takes a while, but I do have a program it's called Matrix. And the man that started that was Michael Ertleben. And that's out of Big Rapids. Some of the earlier astrology programs are from there, which is amazing. So let's see what I wrote down here. And it's going to be kind of short and sweet.
Good.
Yeah. So I just have, and the chart that I'm using is from August 2nd, 1776 was when the Declaration of Independence was signed. So that's the one that I use for the USA chart. For Muskegon's chart, I use the latitude and longitude, you know, for our area, but any place in the United States or actually this side of the equator, you know, is going to be pretty much, you know, the same thing. So only maybe a few little, you know, changes, but so the U.S. has, Leo is a sun sign. So the Leonian suns, they right now is in the fourth house of the U.S. So, and it's trining the ascendant. And conjuncting Venus, sextile Saturn. So all of that is going to show a pretty positive day. Of course, it is like 8:00, but there's a sense of being at ease and things are working out right now. Communication is good, although there is Mercury is also causing a lot of just frenetic energy, you know, a lot of phone calls, a lot of, you know, trips here and there. So good thing is not to, you know, let all of that, you know, stress you out if you have to get out and about. But so the sun is trining with the moon. So it's a nice day for getting out and enjoying activities, including children, young people. There's a good feeling of support and harmony and appreciation right now. So it's good energy for tackling tasks that need to be done with Mars trine Saturn. The moon is conjunct the ascendant, so it's a good time to get your point across if you have to. So the timing is good for that. So that's pretty much it for right now.
I like that. It fits right into what Brandon's doing, because Brandon's having his nephew's birthday party going on right now at his house.
Oh, yeah.
So it fit right in line with that. He may have to leave early, as a matter of fact, to join in on that. So we know how important that is now after 2020.
Yeah, it's kind of chaotic. That's why I've had my thing on mute, because I got him a toy car that he can drive around. So it's honking in the background. So I'm keeping mine muted. So
okay. Now, along those lines of forecast, was there anything that told you about the doom that 2020 was? Did you have any messages, any foretelling of that?
Well, over the last few months that I was doing the Muskegon by the Stars, yeah, there was a lot of, I think I did quite a bit on that show, you know, talking about some of the energies that were going on from 2020. And basically the biggest thing that was causing the problems, and it hasn't since 2008, and it will go on for another 2 years, and that is Pluto in, Pluto and Saturn, Pluto and Capricorn. So, I mean, that's causes a lot of change. I mean, Pluto is a sign of upheaval, but, you know, for anything to change and for to have anything new, sometimes things have to break down. So that's making way for big changes. But soon, and after 2023, it will be in Aquarius. So Pluto used to be the ruler of Aquarius, but, you know, traditionally, but it isn't anymore. So I'm not sure. I haven't really done any of the major forecasting for that, but just intuitively, I would say that when it comes to Plutonian energy, we might be seeing breakdown in major communication systems, but that's just, you know, off the cuff, intuitive thing.
Hopefully so, not tonight, because your other forecast,
a couple years from now.
Yeah, your other forecast talked about communications coming together, and this thing tonight took a little bit of coming together. Yeah, because I'm at the studio right now where I would normally be at home, but mm-hmm. we had people here at WKTV that are tested. Mm. They had to get tested for COVID. So
yeah,
and then. Astrology wise, you're doing a monthly astrology forecast, aren't you?
Yes.
I saw a couple of those. Yes. I'm a sucker for those. Yeah, I read into those. I'm always, and then of course we've had readings. Kim's had some readings that she's still mm-hmm. waiting for a gentleman in some brown slacks and a button up shirt to show up.
Yeah, I try not to get into too much specifics when it comes to the personal astrology forecast. Yeah. I have made the mistakes before when I was just starting out to tell someone that they were accident prone. And
oh, no.
The next time I saw him, he had said that, yeah, he says, you were right. He says, I almost put my eye out. Like, oh, no. So you don't want to, you know, it's all about, you know, patterns and trends. And it's nothing like you said, yeah, I'm going to meet a, you know, tall, handsome stranger on such and such a date, you know, because that's what I mean when I say at the end of my little program is that the stars impel, they do not compel. So what we do, especially being knowledgeable about those energies, is really up to us, you know, how we use that, you know, in our lives.
I like that. That's a quotable statement there. I'm going to have
That is my quote. The stars impel, they do not compel, and what you do is really up to you. So, yeah, and that's a good way to look at it. But it's called Muskegon by the Stars, and I usually try to get that out there before the first of every month. And of course, that's on the Muskegon channel.
Yeah, I've been checking that out. You bet. Like I say, I'm since a kid, you know, around our house anyway. We would read those forecasts and just see if we could make them fit in some way or the other. But to get back to Paranormal Muskegon, you also interviewed someone from MUFON. One of the MUFON big shots.
Yes, he was my chief investigator for 10 years from Michigan MUFON, and that was Daniel Snow. So yeah, we had a good talk. So.
So what's new with MUFON?
Excuse me?
What's new with the world of MUFON?
I'm not in MUFON anymore.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I was just about ready to say that you're no longer with MUFON, but you were for like 10 years,
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
A long time.
Yeah, they're a good group, you know. I think it was last May. It's just because I had all this other stuff, you know, going on. I do have a blog. Well, I have a research company in Muskegon, but it's basically a blog right now because I have too many things going on, maybe. And I'm writing the book called Haunted Muskegon. So I've been working on that a little bit. I just started doing that.
Is this a different book? Because I thought your book was going to be like, wasn't going to be factual. Not a mystery.
Like made up ghost stories or something?
Yeah. No, it's actually more sci-fi, but I was approached in January by a history press, which is part of Arcadia Publishing in South Carolina. And they happened to read an article that I had wrote for Paranormal Muskegon. It was the segment with Chaton Noir on on monsters. And they suggested that I do send in a book proposal, and they accepted it. So I will be started writing that just about a month ago. So
I'm actually awesome.
Yeah, I know. I was very, very
surprised. Huge.
It was huge, because at first I thought it was just, you know, it was a vanity press and, you know, you have to pay for it. And it says, nope, we're not a vanity press. It's a series called Haunted America. So they do books all over, and they just happened to be looking for something in this area. And he just picked up on that, that post that I did, or the segment that I did. And yeah, I was flabbergasted, you know, by the whole thing. So, but now I'm getting down to the nuts and bolts, like, okay, now I have to write it. You know, I have to do all this research, you know, talk to people like, you know, Brandon, all of the people that are, you know, doing that investigative work. And, so start doing all of this, visiting all of these museums too, obviously. So yeah. Part of it, it's you know, local history, but, you know, more with the paranormal, you know, all of the stories of people seeing ghosts, and I want to do more part of, you know, what investigations found, you know, the actual investigations. So
it's sci-fi, but it is based on factual events, right? Is that what you're saying?
The book that I had mentioned before, the last time we talked, that was my own personal, you know, a book that I had written. It's called Sequence 17, but that's going to have to be kind of like put on the sidelines now for right
that's
now.
That's where I got confused.
It was a little confusing because, yeah, I wrote that, and I had just finished in editing, and then this thing came up, and I said, well, this is someone that's a sure thing, they're going to publish this. So I'm going to have to say, well, maybe a little bit down the line, then, you know, I can work on that. So,
yeah, I remember we had interviewed Darren Dykehouse at one point in time, and he had done some investigative work in Muskegon, I think I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, he has. So yeah, I did talk with him about that, because he investigated the, I'm not sure, I was along with Kent County Paranormal also. You did the LST 393, and I talked to, you know, to Brandon and and Dan, you know, about that investigation, because, you know, it was fascinating. So
yeah,
hoping to do a chapter on that. But I'm just getting started. So it's going to be 2022, I think, before we're looking at Muskegon. So I've got some time there to put in.
Yeah, I'm doing articles for WKTV Journal. And I started out with Darren. We talked about the ship and the other stuff. The fact that he, like you mentioned earlier, empath, and what that must be like right now to be an empath. It's like there's so much death around, so many people dying alone, and the numbers are not trending down yet. So how has that affected what you do? I figure you've gone to Zoom on everything, right?
Yes, we have ever since April of last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I think it was about a month after that. And then, you know, we decided to start doing the Zoom interviews, but we still basically focus on the Muskegon area as much as we can. And, you know, maybe some of the surrounding areas, even though I guess the opportunity is there to, you know, go outside that. Maybe, you know, in the future we might, you know, still do that. I don't really know. But just the genre of the whole program is Muskegon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just obviously with, you know, Paranormal Muskegon. So we look for stories, you know, from the Muskegon area. Yeah, I've heard, you know, some really interesting ghost stories out there, but some of them I haven't been able to really get any, you know, information to move forward.
We did an investigation in Muskegon. It was Unruly Brewing Company, but we started out, he was all for it. And then it was like, before we were done, I don't think he was wishing that he hadn't done it, because it brought up emotions about a friend of his that he had lost. And maybe that friend was the one that was still hanging out at the brewery.
Oh.
They thought that there was a fire where people had died. We did a lot of research into that. And there was a fire in the building. We can see where it was scorched. The beams were scorched in the building there. But after extensive research, we could not correlate any deaths to that. But there have been several deaths due to fires in Muskegon, because in the early days, they had big piles of sawdust sitting around Muskegon. It was a very seedy area, which I guess a lot of areas in Michigan were, because we hear about Bay City being also like that. It was rough area way back in like in the 20s in the speakeasy days. So there's stories out there, but I don't know if this guy from Unruly would be willing to talk to you. It's a possibility. You might want to look into it. It may even be new ownership. Nowadays, it's hard to keep in a restaurant or bar like that going with COVID. Yeah, COVID hit us too. You know, we did 5 shows and then had to cancel 6. At that point, we didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
If we were going to keep going or what. And then they made changes here at WKTV where they could get us apart, you know, separate us and put us in a bigger room. And that kept us going, but then other restrictions. So if it wasn't for Brandon right now doing the formatting for this Zoom, there wouldn't be a show. We wouldn't be talking right now. I always look forward to these talks because you are in so many things, so many of these ologies. Numerology is another one that you are into. Is that bigger than astrology and ufology for you, the numerology part of what you do?
No, I wouldn't say it was bigger. I mean, it all correlates even with, you know, astrology. I don't think there's anything in nature that isn't part of astrology, you know? So, I mean, colors and stones and plants and trees and, you know, everything and numbers. So, I mean, it's just all part of the understanding of the material world that we live in.
Well, I'm glad you brought up color, because I wanted to ask you, you think certain numbers correlate to certain colors?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, certain colors correlate with the astrological signs too. The color wheel starts out with Aries and goes around as red, and then it goes around the whole, you know, circular chart, if you can think of it as in a circular chart, all the way around to indigo, which would be Aquarius. So I used to have a chart someplace that I put all of the colors on it as a color wheel. But depending on the system, though, you know, a lot of different, I should say people have different colors match numbers, you know, and so not one system is going to be the same.
We broke down some of the numbers when you were on before, but I did notice on your email, you have 777. Is that significant?
Oh, yeah. 7 7 oh my email address.
Right. I was wondering if that's significant. Why did you pick that?
Well, it's a miss 7 is a mystical number. You know, all of odd numbers are spiritual numbers, you know, and that kind of like bases on the Fibonacci number series, 1, 3, 5, 7. They're, you know, prime numbers.
We talked about Fibonacci a couple times.
A little bit.
Yeah, you were on Cryptic Frequencies also. You caught me off guard the first time you were on this show with that Fibonacci, even though I had seen it and read a little bit on it. There was no way I could talk about it. But it seems like the whole universe is built around these patterns. The cosmos has a pattern, a Fibonacci pattern to it. And seashells.
Yes.
Are built with that. It's kind of a curvature repeated. You think that is key? That's key to the universe, that those numbers and that pattern.
Yes. That, as above, so below, as within, so without. From the atom, even quantum atoms, all the way up to universes, it all goes in a spiral. We think of even atoms going around, you'll see like on diagrams where they're going around in a circle with, you know, the nucleus and the protons and that, but it's as if they were really to see them in reality, they wouldn't be, they would be in spiral form. So anything is more spiral. We either in quantum physics, and they show the photons, they either spiral in their experiments, they either spiral up or they spiral down. So, you know, everything's a spiral, everything, and everything's connected. So.
Yeah. Well, and the Earth is spinning, the universe is probably spinning, I guess. You think that's creating like spiritual vortex? Think that could like take that energy and just whip it up and centralize it?
That's possible. I never thought of it that way.
Well, I've been reading more about vortexes in some of these books that I'm reading. And it's just like before, I never really considered it. Mm-hmm. But now that I read more on it, I can see where that would happen, where you might run into something like that. All of a sudden you have a whole energy force, and it's like a tornado of mm-hmm. energy force. We've been in places where these EMF detectors, they're no use. You turn them on and they max out. Like radio stations that are putting out all these waves, high energy waves. A tool like that doesn't work there. Probably where I'm at right here at this studio, I'm guessing a tool like that wouldn't work. But what happens is apparently these spirits are able to use that energy to help manifest themselves. So if you can get into an area like that, you might have a better chance to have an experience. We were up in Grand Rapids on a parking platform outside of one of the radio stations, and even outside the machine that measures EMFs maxed out. And what was happening, people were going up there and jumping off of that parking ramp. Now, I don't know if all those waves had anything to do with messing up their thoughts or not, but yeah. And then ghosts were seen in that same area, whether it had to do with the people that are jumping off and committing suicide, I don't know, but I really think there is something. I don't know if it relates to the Fibonacci or not, but I think there could be these vortexes that are being created.
The whole thing with high EMF is it can cause hallucinations and stuff, and it can cause it to mess with your mind. Now, whether it's gonna make you commit suicide, but that high EMF certainly doesn't help if you're in that state of mind, you know, with the side effects that it creates when you're around high EMF.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you're into the paranormal, I would think big time, you know, you're an investigative reporter. How would you rate Michigan as far as what we have going for us paranormal? Is it a good place to come if you want to do paranormal research?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there's a lot of places around here that either have been investigated or should be investigated. Yeah, I was just looking for a couple of things last night to see whether our railroad or the system that used to come into Muskegon was haunted. If I could find any ghost trains.
Oh yeah.
But there's a lot of ghost trains, you know, in Michigan and. You know, there's things like the Pauling light that have never been explained. A lot of paranormal activity and ufology, you know, people that are interested in UFOs. Michigan's been a hot spot for a long, long time for that sort of activity. So yeah, there's plenty here for anybody that wants to get involved with that sort of thing, finding out the mysteries.
What did you just say? There was some sort of light?
It's called the Pauling light.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not
what quite is that? Aware of that.
It's a mysterious light that's been seen for just years and years and years. I think they see it over, I mean, cars see it, they're going down the road, and it's sometimes it's a series of three lights in different colors. I really don't know too much about it myself.
Oh, okay.
Brandon knows
something in the sky about it.
Yeah, he might is probably more knowledgeable.
Brandon knows a little bit about the Paulding light.
Yeah, something like a lot of people go up there and see every night because it looks like it's coming out of nowhere, but a lot of people have kind of tried to debunk it as being caused reflections from like traffic lights from like a highway or something that you can't see it, but the light's reflecting off of things because it's something like people go up there all the time and the lights are always there. So it's
right.
So it depends. People think it's more something spiritual. Other people think it's the lights reflecting somehow off of.
Is that in the UP or is that low? Is that in the Lower Peninsula? You know, it's up north somewhere. I don't know exactly where.
Yeah.
Trying to remember. I've never been to Paulding, so I can't.
Paulding, it's been around though for a while. People can look that up if they're interested in that. And another spooky thing about Michigan is the Lake Michigan Triangle. And we've talked about that a little bit before. And there's more ships and planes that have gone missing in Lake Michigan than there are the rest of the bodies of water in the world put together. A lot more than what the Bermuda Triangle has. Mm-hmm. And people seem to lose time. It's like, it's real. It's a spookiness for them. They lose time when they're out there in certain spots of Lake Michigan. I had a map, but because I'm at the studio, I don't have it with me. It seems like it runs from Ludington down to Benton Harbor. At Ludington, it goes over to Wisconsin and then angles down back to Benton Harbor. So it's most of Lake Michigan, really.
It's Manitowoc,
right.
Goes across to by Ludington and then down to Benton Harbor. And one of the most famous cases about a plane going down, I think it was in the early 50s, because at the time that was one of the worst air crashes. They had had, I think over 50 people died in that. And they found the wreckage down by Grand Haven, but they have no idea, you know, what happened to that plane. You know, there was someone in a woman in Grand Haven that said that she had heard an explosion, you know, at one point, you know, in the middle of the night. And then it's like they found out that plane went down. But a lot of planes, a lot of ships, you know, people disappearing, like you're saying, missing time. So, yeah.
Missing time. Yeah, that's to me, that's just really spooky. Flight 2501 in 1950, yes. You're referring to in the wreckage.
Yes.
Never been found. 9 ships were found while they were looking for this. Yeah, they say 40 planes went down in that area alone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, we're really spooky, and we have Bigfoot, we have Dog Man, and we have a lot of places that are haunted. We don't have places like Gettysburg necessarily like that, or like they have over in Europe where they have castles that people can investigate. But I'm thinking your intelligent hauntings are younger anyway than what your spiritual hauntings are, your historical hauntings, the ones that go back centuries. It's a matter of being in the right place at the right time if you're going to see something like that. But Michigan does have a whole lot to offer. Now, when I was 5 years old and my grandfather was coaching me on ghost hunting, this is what he told me. He said, keep an open mind about things that I might not easily believe. So we use that in every show. But the end of it is keep in mind about things that you might not easily believe, even things like vampires. That's what my grandpa told me at 5 years old. yeah. So, I mean, I have an open mind. What do you think? What do you think about vampires? I have never asked you that.
I don't care much for vampires.
Wearing a scarf.
Yeah,
no, I know that I wear. You're
trying
scarf.
To hide something. Yeah, I am. I am. Well, historically, the stories of vampires are based on Vladimir the Impaler,
right,
from Pennsylvania, and yeah, he was pretty heinous character. Probably don't want to get into too much of the graphics of some of the things that he would do. I think some of the stories of vampires also have to do with people that had a disease called porphyria, because they would, they couldn't go out in the light, you know, and they tended to be very pale skinned, and their mouth would, like their teeth, and that would protrude. And sometimes a lot of the stories maybe all gets, you know, over time gets all mixed in together. And of course, you know, fiction gets a hold of that. But I think maybe there is a correlation between the stories of vampires and alien abductions.
Oh.
Because it has to do with the teeth. So, and there are people that, you know, they, when they see them, or they have the cover stories of you know, entities being in their room, and that, and they, one thing that they talk about is that their teeth, you know, that they have something different about their teeth. Some people, you know, of course, wake up with the marks, you know, on their body. So maybe those ideas of vampires through the years are really stories about aliens. So,
I didn't
know. Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. That's really interesting. You know, we had a Bigfoot guy on our last show, and we talked about where the origin of Bigfoot might be. And Kim brought up, she thought maybe they were like an ancient civilization or humanoids. And I knew I had something in my notes on this, because when we talked to Bill Konkoleski with the MUFON leader, I had looked up something that he had in his book, and it was crypto-terrestrials. And the hypothesis is they're a mysterious, secretive race of Earth origin, and they've been on Earth as long as humans. They're indigenous to Earth. But I think that could explain some things about Bigfoot, where they came from. They were here all along. It's just they're very elusive. Do you cover that also in Paranormal Muskegon? Because Bigfoot people tell me they're not paranormal.
We haven't as of yet. You know, I know Chaitin Noir is, you know, the cryptologist, so she knows about that. I am going to interview her soon. I think I have something set up in April to talk about Dogman. So maybe we'll have to get together again and, you know, talk about Bigfoot. So we haven't had any Bigfoot people on, mainly because I guess if we focus on the Muskegon area, we hadn't found anyone that, you know, had seen Bigfoot in Muskegon. So I'm not a Bigfoot expert, you know, by any means. So,
well, the whole intro about silence, and we're going to get into that more, but people do have seen things and they don't want to report things, whether it's ghosts or Bigfoot or UFOs, because they don't want everybody else to think that they're crazy. So, I mean, these people, if they would just come forward, you know, call Marie and she'll get you on the show. Or we will. We'll get you on this show, maybe. I don't know. We're pretty busy. I mean, we've got people lined up. So you're filling in for someone who was supposed to have been like a demonologist. So it kind of puts me to this question. What about witches? What's your stand on witches? Do you think they're real?
Well, the term witch is kind of like a 15th century term for them. It's more, you know, Wiccan. But so I don't know. Like I said, if you go back to the word witches, I'm not sure if that's something that really, you know, pertains to the whole, you know, paganism belief system, because that's what it is. I mean, it's a very ancient belief system that has to do with being harmonious with the earth, you know, and patterns and that. So the idea that we have, you know, a Halloween witch, you know, really doesn't apply. So
They're in tune with nature. Right. They're not sticking little children in their oven.
I think of it like what you said, Marie, when you were younger, you started reading up on this stuff like at age 13.
Yes.
Right. So I think of somebody
like you, kind of dabbling in the Wiccan part of it, where you're maybe working with crystals or, you know, nature, different herbs. And, you know, is that kind of the part of quote unquote witch that you learned about? Is that kind of what you dabbled in a little bit as a child?
Well, I grew up with my mother's with folk medicine. So, you know, when you say that being a witch, you know, a lot of women were burned as witches back in the early 1700s, right, because that was the knowledge that they had. And that was something that I grew up with. That was what kept us healthy, was my mother's folk medicine. You know, and the doctors would say, oh yeah, that's old wives' tales and that, but that's what my grandmother knew. My grandmother was Pennsylvania Dutch. So a lot of what I say is things that I learned about, you know, when I was younger, had to do with the Pennsylvania Dutch belief system in hexes and things like that. Not that I use that, but yeah. I know about it. You ever seen the aluminum pie tin? You buy an aluminum pie tin and you see on the bottom, there'll be a star or a circular. That's actually a hex sign from Pennsylvania Dutch, because they would put symbols on the bottom of the pie pans to make the pies turn out good. And same thing with symbols on their houses. They would paint, you know, if you see them like tulips and certain colorful signs, those are hex signs from old Pennsylvania Dutch belief system.
So when you say folk medicine, can you give us an example of what grandma would do to fix you up if you had like a sore throat or something? Or, I mean, what does that even mean?
Well, just simple things like, you know, food as medicine, you know, honey and lemon, or using POTUS. You ever heard of a poultice, a POTUS? It's like milk and bread and milk. You know, if you had like an infection or whatever, it's something wrong, you know, a sore or whatever, they would put, you know, milk, warm milk and bread, and they would wrap it up. And, you know, usually it would go away.
Really?
Let's see.
I never heard of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When I was little, I stepped on a thorn, a mesquite thorn, which those things are like 2 inches long. Ugh. So I stepped on a thorn and went right into my heel. Well, it started to get infected. And what did my mom do? She put the warm POTUS on there and wrapped it up, told me to stay off from it, which I didn't. But I think like flaxseed, or you go out into the woods and you get stung by nettles and you put mud on it, you know, to make it go away. And it's just simple home remedies. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I grew up with that. And my grandfather was, they lived in Oceana County. So a lot of what they learned was from Native American, you know, medicine. So, you know, I grew up with that. So I guess when I hear the word, you know, witch and equated with that sort of thing, you know, it kind of like, no, that's not even, doesn't even equate, you know, with anything. Right. You know, the word pagan, it means, now I lost in my train of thought, but it's peasant. It's a word for peasant. So there were this people, regular people. And then before the, you know, the patriotic religions got in there, that's how they lived, you know, that's how they, you know, their remedies and the things that they know about, like Nostradamus and his, you know, herbal medicine and things like that, you know, that's all based on wisdom and knowledge that we've had for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of a pagan earth belief system, you know, and crystals, everything has energies. You know, when you look at a crystal, you know, our communication system, you know, communications have crystals in them. A watch doesn't work. You know, old watches have crystals in them. They have rubies in them, or they used to. So that's part of the mechanism. So it's like, that's what they say. Well, they have power. Amber actually gives off a electric charge if you rub it. So all of that stuff is, you know, wisdom and truth, you know, that so many people don't believe in anymore.
My household was similar to yours, I guess. When I was sick, my mother would make me something she called milk toast.
Yes.
It sounds like what you're talking about is just toast, buttered, salt and pepper, and then warm milk, which I only got that when I was sick.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it, but yeah. So now that explains something, because I know our family believed in a lot of those superstitions because their folks did. Mm-hmm. You know, their folks, that's, there wasn't all the medicines that there are around today. So you needed home remedies. But talking about witches and what I do with Preacher Man Deliverance Ministry has to do with people that have had curses, hexes on their family, maybe their ancestors, but with, like you say, not with the witch like we see at Halloween, but your definition of it. I think we need to move on a little bit. A final thought has to do with the poem. And the poem was Simon and Garfunkel, or it was the song Simon and Garfunkel, Songs of Silence. You know, silence like a cancer grows. So the final thought is, have you guys ever ran into situations where keeping the secret was not really the best way to go about it? It's like your silence did more harm. Can you maybe cite some examples of that where being quiet about stuff is not the right way to go? Brandon, you got any ideas on that? He probably has to unmute himself.
I don't really want to go into details about anything, but I have been in situations where you're kind of stuck in the middle of a fight between two people and like you can't really say anything. You're kind of like, you're like the rope in a tug of war game kind of a thing situation. And it's like trying to stay silent and trying to keep the peace between them is kind of like silence. A horrible situation to be stuck in, you know.
Silence might be the best avenue
for
a situation like that.
Yeah, it is, but like at the same time, it's tough to be in that situation, you know.
Right. There's so many different levels you can take this at, because I mentioned about people that see UFOs, people that see ghosts, they're silent about it. People that have qualities, a gift, but they don't want to say anything. Their family doesn't know they have the gift. They keep it a secret. Kim, you got any examples of that you want to cite?
I can't think of anything specific, but you know, I've been in those situations where you get to know somebody and they seem to be an expert on everything. Even though you may have been in the paranormal field for years and all of a sudden they know more than you. And it doesn't have to be paranormal. It could be anything. It could be, you know, I know more about dogs than what you do. But then it's like when you offer some advice or offer some knowledge you may have, all of a sudden it's like, well, they know more than you. And you have to kind of, you know, silence yourself so you don't cause an argument or you don't make the other person mad. Or that's the only thing I can think about is trying to silence my mouth so I don't, you know, I don't start an argument.
Right. Well, Marie and I, we can't do that. We have no control for that. Do you have any ideas along that where silence might not be the right way to go, Marie?
Well, if it was, I've never learned it.
Good for you.
Yeah, I understand what Kim is saying because I run up against that myself.
Yeah.
I've spent 30 years in the medical field and I still come up against those people that, you know, will tell me such and such a thing that they've, you know, read on the internet. And it's like, you know what? I just, you know, go ahead. You know, I'm learning that I would rather be happy than be right. Okay. You know,
you have to pick your battles.
Yeah, absolutely. Pick your battles. But when it comes to talking about the things that, you know, about the paranormal, you know, and about the idea of whether or not ghosts exist or, you know, are UFOs or aliens and things like that, is like, we don't know what we don't know. And to just, you know, automatically say, oh, well, that doesn't exist, you know, doesn't cut it for me. I'll just say, you know, I'm usually pretty open-minded but I'm also pretty outspoken when it comes to that. And I've never really, I guess I don't really care whether they said you wear a tin hat or, you know, you're crazy or you're this, you're that. Right. It's like, well, okay, you know, I don't really care that you call me crazy or this or that.
How many people do though? Yeah, Brandon and I.
I'm sure they do, but they don't write my paycheck, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, I kind of had situations like that where I was like kind of staying silent about like when I was investigating the paranormal before we started our podcast. And like there's certain family members I want to tell because they, you know, I knew they wouldn't understand it from their mm-hmm. religious beliefs, you know. And like when we started doing the podcast, and like when they find out about it, like, oh, have you gone crazy? Like what is this? What is this? You know, like no, that's, you know, it's like a stuff that I study, you know. It's about learning more about the world and God's mm-hmm. creation instead of just being stuck in the box. Like that's like I think everybody's fit, it's always the box thing. Like I like to be out yeah. and explore the universe, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to put us in a box, any of us people here. I brought my computer to my family reunion and said, anybody want to hear a ghost? Some people just did not want to hear a ghost. They didn't want to admit that there could be a ghost. It didn't fit into their beliefs. So many times Brandon and I have done interviews and they will preface it with, I might be crazy, but, and then they'll go into it. But the silence I think that really hurts is when people see stuff and they don't, bad things happening and they don't do anything about it. Or there's a bigger silence. That's someone who is thinking about committing suicide. And they're not talking to anybody about it. They're just keeping it inside. That's the silence that kills right there. So that's kind of why I use this intro. That mostly. If you're out there and you're thinking about committing suicide in this day and age, I could see that happening. Mm-hmm. Talk to somebody, you know, get help. There's a lot of places you can go out there to get help. So that's a serious point I wanted to make. We got to do shout outs and then just move right along because we're completely out of time. Phil Shaw was on last time. So shout out to Phil. He's with the West Branch Bigfoot Committee. Mm-hmm. And then on my other show, we actually zoomed to the United Kingdom with Jacqueline Dixon. She's with Paranormal Path. So that was exciting. And we're going to zoom out of the country on this show too later on. We've got someone signed up from Canada we're going to talk to. I figure we might as well send Andy O a shout out, your boss there at.
All right. You Paranormal like that. Scene.
Yeah. And then Mama Mary Bassett, we've all worked with her. And then, like I said, I mentioned Lisa Perron. She's from Thunder Bay, Ontario, and we will be talking with her. So we will be zooming to Canada. And then I sat in with Grasp on their Para-Unity meeting that they had, and Tammy Post was there. We used to work with Tammy Post. She still works with Brandon, but she's branched out to a whole new kind of research, paranormal research. So shout out to Tammy. If we can, we'd like to get her on the show, and we're pretty much booked through the year. But so then Grasp, my shout out to them, they're doing the Para-Unity. And so that's under upcoming and ongoing. We have Linda Pomranke with the Lost Cryptids Conservatory coming next. So we'll talk about Bigfoot and all those other cryptids. And on Facebook, you can check us out. Kim got that up. We got that thing completely loaded with all of our shows. Yeah. And then we also put in if there's going to be a conference or some kind of a Paracon mm-hmm. thing going on, we put stuff in there so you can check that out. And that's under Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast.
Yep.
Facebook. It's a mouthful, yep. I know.
It's a mouthful. You'll find it. Just right. Type it all in there.
Grasp has the Para-Unity Summit coming May 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's on the SS City of Milwaukee in Manistee. It's for paranormal professionals only. So check out their Paranormal Summit Facebook and get details on that. It's limited space. So if you want to go, get signed up now. And then there's a Bigfoot Days. That's also May 15th, and that's in Iron Park, West Branch. And so that's with, of course, our Bigfoot guy, Phil Shaw. Yep. So that's upcoming and ongoing. We also do Monday nights and Saturday nights. WKTV is televising our podcast. So Marie, you'll be on TV. You're actually going to be on a couple times pretty quick, because we're going to bring up your old show and all show right. that too. So I'll let you know, but you'll be on either Comcast or UVerse, Comcast channel 25 or UVerse 99. Great. And so that's pretty, yeah, that's exciting. You'll be able to watch yourself on TV.
I know. Well, Paranormal Muskegon is on Comcast also too.
Good. Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
So a few things, I guess so.
Inspirational thought, and then the show is over. And I actually have a couple of short quotes for that, and it ties in to the silence, like a cancer grows thing. The song by Simon and Garfunkel, "Sounds of Silence." And the first quote is, "You may never know what results come of your actions, but if you do nothing, there will be no results." Gandhi said that. And then this one, you probably heard this one. "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." And Edmund Burke said that, JFK said that, and there's a few references to that in the Bible. So if you're out there, you see stuff happening and you know it's not right, speak up, don't be silent. I'm calling you to action. If someone's being hurt and you know it, sound out. If you're considering suicide, talk about it. Find help. There's people out there, and I know right now, the people that are so empathic, you know, they're down. I don't know if they're back up again, because COVID is not really a whole lot better. We do have some answers now, but I don't know that it's a whole lot better. So I know it's kind of a downer, but if you're out there, I'm calling you to action. Don't be afraid to be called crazy. You got people like Marie and myself, Brandon, Kim.
Right.
Join our club. Join the crazy club.
Woo! Come on over.
Thanks so much. Thanks
to
all
of you. Come to the crazy side. We have cookies too.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Peace out.
I enjoyed it.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.